Okay, we begin with Masechas Beitza, the fourth parak. Today's daf is daf Lamed Alamed Aleph. We're going to begin on the bottom of Chav Tes and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi Kadiyayin Mimakom Lamakom Lo Yaviyim Besal Bekupa Aval Mevi Hu Al Ksefo Olafanav. The Mishnah says that when a person is carrying on Yom Tif, something such as, let's say, barrels of wine, he should not carry them in baskets or in boxes. Rather, he should carry them over his shoulder or in front of him. The reason, says Rashi, is because he wants to make some differentiation between the way he carries on Yom Tif and the rest of the week, that it shouldn't look like a person is just conducting his business as usual. This is continuation somewhat of the theme that we have developed earlier in this Masechta, that even things that are technically permissible because of the, you know, in the letter of the law on Yom Tif, there's still a concern that things not have the appearance of being Mekach or Memkar or Ubde Dachol. Some Rishonim actually learn maybe a different reason as to why the Mishnah is suggesting that there be a Shinoi of sorts when carrying, but this is Rashi's Pshat. V'chein HaMolechas HaTevin, says Rashi similarly, if a person is carrying Tevin, straw, from one place to another, Lo Yafshilas HaKupal HaChorav, Avan Mevihu Biyado, he should not carry it on his back, over his shoulder, which again is the way that a person would normally do so. Rather, he should carry it in his hand. Rashi says again that if a person does that on Yom Tov, so it's somewhat of a gnai because it looks like he's doing malacha rabba. Says Rashi, it looks like he's doing perhaps more than he needs, like a person is doing a lot of his regular weekday work on Yom Tov. But if he's just carrying the straw in his hand, so that's, you know, obviously it's a smaller quantity that he can take and it doesn't have that same appearance. Continues the Mishnah, somewhat of a different point. Umaschilin be'areimas hateven avalo be'etzim shebemukta. When a person wants to start a fire, says Rashi, maschilin be'areimas hateven, he can start using straw, which is helpful in starting a fire that was placed on the side in order to be used for animals, says Rashi. This was normally not used for burning purposes, but the reason is because it's not considered mukta, because after all, it was somewhat designated beforehand. But not etzim shebim mukta. This is a funny word. Normally, we say mukta is a description of something which cannot be moved on Shabbos. Yom Tov over here, lo etzim shebim mukta. So Rashi, shebim mukta is referring to one's backyard, one's front yard, an area, explains to Rashi, where people typically place all of the items that they would normally need on Yom Tov. So this is, you know, what we would probably call a chatzer. This is a yard that people use for, you know, regular, temporary storage purposes. Things that a person puts in the muksa, meaning in the backyard, so these are things that are stored away for longer purposes. And over here the Mishnah says, you certainly cannot go ahead and take this wood. Rashi points out that the Gemara is going to point out, we're not going to see this tonight, the Gemara in the bottom of the Omer is going to point out that there would seem to be a stira between these two points in the Mishnah, because first the Mishnah seems to imply that we take somewhat of a lenient view when it comes to muksa. This would reflect the position of Rabbi Shimon. However, the Seifa of the Seifa, when it says lo be'edzim sheva muksa, seems to follow the more strict opinion of muksa, namely that of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to deal with this on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues, Tana im iaf shalashanas mutter. Even though it says in the Mishnah that when a person is carrying certain things on Yom Tov, he should do so with a shinoi, if it's impossible to do it with a shinoi, so then it's mutter to do it in the normal fashion. Rashi explains, impossible over here doesn't mean that it's physically impossible. It just means that it's not practical because the person could not achieve whatever it is that he wanted to do. It says Rashi, Zimun Orchim Harbi. Let's say having a lot of guests. But Tzarech Lahavi Harbi Biachad, and you need to bring a lot of whatever the case is, whatever it is that you're carrying, you have to provide all of your guests with whatever it is that you would bring them. So therefore, it's not practical to go ahead and to use the shinui that's suggested in the Mishnah, so then it's mutter. In other words, the shinuyim should be done only if they're feasible. But if they're not feasible, then it is mutter. Then the Gemara says that the Gemara gives examples of certain shinuyim that we found based on this Mishnah. Askin Rava b'Mechuzah, in a place called Mechuzah, so Rava made the following takana. The Dara b'duchka, Lidru b'ragla. Those who normally carry things, b'duchka, literally with great effort. Rashi explains over here that they carry it over their shoulders. Let's say a person is carrying a barrel of wine or carrying fruit or something like that, and that's the normal manner in which he carries it. So Lidru Baragla, on Yom Tov, he should carry it Baragla, doesn't mean with his foot, rather it means with a pitchfork. Both Rashi and Tosfos over here both use the word fork, actually, literally. Shikorin fork, Rashi probably just maybe a fork actually, you know, may resemble a leg, you know, on some level when you think about it. Anyway, a pitchfork is a tool that could be used to carry packages in a manner that explains Rashi was a little easier than normally doing so. So as we're going to see in a few moments from now, Rashi over here doesn't seem to learn anyway that we insist that the shinoi be easier. Rashi assumes that the condition is it cannot, whatever the shinoi is, it cannot make it more difficult. But even if it's the same effort, if it's different, there's still something to be gained. So Rava said, the dara baduchka lidru baraglif. You normally go ahead and you carry it over your shoulders to do it with a pitchfork. Lid the dara baraglif. People normally carry, again, in this manner, using a pitchfork. So lidru ba'agra. So then they should go ahead and use a pole, which is carried by two people. Says Rashi, they would have a stick, which one person would carry one end, and the other person would carry the other end, and they would put whatever packages they were carrying in the middle. This is easier, obviously, than carrying baragla, because over here you have two people doing the effort together. The darab agra, if normally during chol, whoever this is would be carrying baagra, using again this this pole with two people. So lidru ba'achpa. So then, in this case, they should just go ahead and do it ba'achpa. Ba'achpa means with their hands, without really any much effort whatsoever. They should just go ahead and carry it one person. The dara ba'achpa, if that's the way it's normally carried. So nifro sudra ilaveh. So then you should spread a sudar, a sheet, over it. Now, obviously, this doesn't do anything to minimize the effort involved, but this as well is a shinui of sorts. And so therefore, says Rashi, explaining again, all of these are shinuyim, which are sort of in the spirit of that which the Mishnah recommends, that when carrying on Yom Tov, things that may appear as if you're doing regular weekday work, business, so try to do it with a shinui. And then again, it says, v'im lo efshar, but if it's not possible to do any of these things, so then shari. Damar, because we learned previously, if shalashanos mutter. Again, and when we say if shalashanos, it doesn't mean that it's physically impossible. It just means that it's not as feasible. It's not as easy to do it in this manner. And so then, in that situation, these shinuyim are not required. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rava le Rav Ashi. Chanan bar Rava said to Rav Ashi, Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, that on Yom Tov, to the whatever extent you can go ahead and use a shinui when carrying, you should try to do so. You know, whatever possible, to whatever extent possible, that's what you should do. But yet we see that it is common that in our particular town, our village, where we live, so the women who carry buckets or jugs of water from the river, and they carry it in Yom Tov, they don't do anything differently, and nobody says anything to them. So apparently, the fact that nobody says anything to them seems to be an indication that what they're doing is completely permissible, right? We said previously that the rabbis seem to insist, to whatever extent possible, try to do a shinui. And here he says, we find that women by us, it's business as usual, and nobody says anything. So what if nobody says anything? Why should that mean his mutter? So in general, we know that the Torah tells us that we have an obligation to go ahead and rebuke somebody who's doing something wrong. So you can't necessarily bring a raya when one person does something, one particular instant, and nobody says anything, even if maybe there's a great rav who's sitting right there who knows for sure the din, he doesn't say anything, it's not necessarily a raya. However, if everybody, all the women, this is how they do it, and nobody says anything, so it seems to be that this is mutter. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi explains the following. He says, Mishum delo efshar. The reason why women, where we are, carry water from the river in the normal fashion is because there's no other way for them to do it, Again, there's no way that them to do it in a way that's going to be feasible, that's really going to help the situation. What would you suggest they do? The malya b'chatz b'rabba, tamali b'chatz b'zuta. Let's say a woman normally carries a larger vessel in order to carry the water from the river. So you can tell her, now that it's Yom Tif, you should use a smaller one. That's what she should do. Well, if that's what she does, kamafsha b'hilucha. So what has she accomplished? The exertion involved in carrying the bucket from one place to another may have been minimized, but now the number of trips that she's going to have to take to and back and forth, you know, to the river, so now that you've just doubled the walking involved. So you haven't really gained anything. Maybe you send me the malia b'chatz b'tu zuta, a woman who uses a small container in order to get to retrieve water. So tamali b'chatz b'rabba says she should go ahead and use a bigger one. Again, kamafshi b'masoi. So while it may be true that she may be able to get whatever water she needs in fewer trips, but the schlep is going to be that much more difficult. The barrels are going to be that much heavier. So it's not going to accomplish anything. Tachasi b'nechamta, what are you going to do? Maybe, so forget, should she use a regular kalim? Whereas during the week, she's not makbet to necessarily cover it. Over here, she should cover it. She should find something to cover. And this will be a shinoi. Again, this will just be something that's different, so it will be able to create an appearance that, you know, what we're doing today is different. So that's not a good idea, says the Gemara Zimnin, the daf of Asa Lasuye, because if you're going to put a bucket, a cover on top of the bucket, it may fall off, and then she's going to end up carrying that as well. And now she's carrying something which is Ram Shlolo Tzarech at all, and God, who needed that whole thing? Now that's what's called a Chumash Azik L'Dekuli. You're going to be Machmir, and in the end, she's going to be more Mekel than she was beforehand. So take the Ray. Maybe you're going to tell me that maybe she should just go ahead and tie the cover to the barrel, so this way it won't fall. So Zimnin the Mispek for us in the Mikture. Maybe the knot will become untied, and then she's going to end up tying a knot on Yom Tif, which is also Malacha. So Tifro Sudra Yilaveh. Maybe you'll say, well, she should just go ahead and cover it with a Sudar. So it was like we described earlier. Just cover it with, you know, some a sheet, a blanket or something like that. And this is a Shinui, which makes it look different than earlier. Again, this is what Reva was Masakin and Mechuza. Says the Gemara, Zimnin the Mitmish B'maya and Asi Lide Schita. Hilkach Lo Afshar. Because we're concerned that what maybe this Sudar will dip into the water, and it's going to become soaked, and this will lead to schita. She's going to squeeze out this. She's going to squeeze out this material for the water, and that's not a good thing, right? So all these cases, while you may have thought on the surface you can accomplish something great, really you're not accomplishing all that much. Hilkach lo efshar. We consider all these cases being cases of lo efshar. It's not recommended, and that's why in these cases. Know what the women who go ahead and fetch the water from the river on Yom Tov, if they do it in the regular manner that they do during the Chol, and nobody says anything. Now that the Gemara gave this particular example, which involved cases of women doing things that nobody seems to object, so the Gemara now gives other such examples. Amalei Rava Bar Chanan Abaye. So Rava Bar Chanan says to Abaye, Tanan, we have a Mishnah, which we're going to learn later on. It's a Mishnah that's Masechta, we didn't get to it yet. Ein Metapchin Vein Mesapchin Vein Meraktin. That on Yom Tif, Shabbos also, you're not permitted to go ahead and clap your hands, and you're not permitted to smack your thighs also for the purpose of making noise. If you're Meraktin, you can't dance. You're not allowed to do these things. Why can't you do it? So Rashi over here explains, because this was a Gezerah, the Gemara is going to explain it on, this was Gezerah Shemawat, they were concerned that it would lead to fixing Kalim. Very often, people use musical instruments. They also use their body and dance and do these things as well. So since it was common for people to do this when they were, when somebody was providing music with instruments, and instruments often broke and they were fixed, so therefore, that's it. No clapping, no dancing, etc. But today, the kachazina and the avdan hachi, we see that people do this all the time. We find that people are clapping and dancing and all this. Nobody says anything. So it would seem that it's permissible. So Amalei, so Abayi says to Rabbi Chanan L'Tameich, well, according to you, Hoda Omar, it's probably Rab over here. Well, Leisiv Inish Apuma Delachia Dilma Menagde Le Chayfetz of Asi Lesuye. A person should not go ahead and place anything next to a lechi on Shabbos, a lechi that is at the Pesach of a Mavoi, which is right next to Rishus HaRabim. So technically you are permitted to carry in that area, but a person shouldn't put, let's say, whatever he's holding down in that area, because if it rolls into the chafetz, into the Rishus HaRabim, he's going to go ahead and pick it up, and he's going to end up carrying in the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, don't go too close to the line. And yet, v'hanashi d'shaklan chatzbayu, but we find that women who bring up fetch the water from the river, women who are carrying the kalim for any particular reason, Vasan v'yasva apum de mavoa, they regularly go ahead and they sit down right next to the end of the mavoi, right next to the lechi, v'lo amina v'lo m'lidi, nobody says anything. So he says, not a raya, the fact that people do things that are wrong and nobody says anything, it's not a raya, ela hanach lem Yisrael. Rather we say that we should just literally, you should leave Jews alone. Mutav shushogin v'lo yimazidin. There are times where it's best to say, let people do what they want, and better that if they're going to do it anyway, better that they should be b'shogeg, and not be mazed. Achanami, you say the same thing over here. Hanach lam Yisrael mutav shishogin v'alyum azidin. So this is obviously a very challenging concept to understand, because as mentioned earlier, normally you do have a din of tochacha. We have to go ahead and be mechiach people, rebuke people. That's a din d'oraisa, that when you see somebody doing something wrong, you're supposed to rebuke them. So all of a sudden we say, no, mutav shishogin v'alyum azidin, that whenever you see somebody doing something wrong. So the pashup shot is, even though we have to, you know, we'll have to really iron out the parameters of this and make sure that we understand what the limits of this din is. But Pashup Shat is that the mitzvah of Tzolchacha is when you know for a fact, or you have reason to suspect, that the person you're being mochicha is going to listen to you. So there you're telling them what you're doing is wrong. So maybe a person didn't know. Or maybe they knew, but they need a little encouragement. They need chizuk. But if you know that a person's not going to listen anyway, so then maybe we have this principle. Just like the Gemara has a similar, but the Gemara has an expression which conveys a similar idea. Just like it's a mitzvah that to be mochiach, somebody's going to listen, so too there's a mitzvah not to be mochiach, somebody won't listen. So here we say, listen, if people are going to violate the din anyway, better that they think that what we're doing is mutter rather than to be an isser. Why is that? After all, objectively, if somebody's doing something wrong, does it really make a difference? If they think it's shogeg, if they think what they're doing is mutter or not, why should it really make a difference? So, pashup shat is it does make a difference. You know, even when a person does an avera, certainly when a person does an issa deraisa, and they don't know that what they're doing is wrong, so objectively, there's still a chait, there's still something that requires kapara, but it's not nearly as bad as when a person does something knowing that what they're doing is wrong. That constitutes a conscious act of rebellion against Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in addition to whatever negative effects of the chait objectively there are, there's also the fact that there's merida here, a person is rebelling against God. If a person thinks that what they're doing is mutter, and again, they're not going to consider stopping anyway. So the Gemara says, "Hanach lam Yisrael, leave them alone." Again, I'm not saying that based on this that we should, on our own, apply this in any given situation. But certainly, there's a concept over here that we need to reckon with. The Rishonim have much discussions here on the Daf and beyond about what this means. Says the Gemara, "Hani midli b'isur b'derabana." This idea that we would say, "Leave people alone; better they do something b'shogeg than do it b'mezid." This is only by the Rabbana. Such as, what were the examples that we saw? We saw, like clapping and dancing and putting things next to the mavoi. These were all gezeres d'rabbanan. Of Abba d'Raisa, what are dealing with? A real didn't d'Raisa, lo. We wouldn't say, hanach lem Yisrael mutav shishogin v'lo yimazidin. When you're dealing with a din d'Raisa, it's best to, no matter what, tell somebody you're doing the wrong thing. And then says the Gemara v'lohi, but even this is not true. Lo shen Abba d'Raisa v'lo shen d'rabbanan. Truth does not make a difference. Even by a din d'Raisa, by a nisa d'Raisa, there are times that we'd say, mutav shishogin, lo aminu l'hu v'lo m'lidu, you don't say anything. How do we know this? Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. The din that on Yom Kippur, we have an obligation, menat Torah, to be mosif mechol HaKodesh. We have to go ahead and start Yom Kippur a little bit earlier, which is what we do, right? We always, you know, we call Kol Nidre, always a few minutes before Shkia. We want to make sure that everybody begins the fast at some point before Yom Kippur. This is a din, the rice of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, says the Gemara, this is the rice. It comes from the Pasuk, V'nisim et nafshasecha betisha l'chodesh be'erev, me'erev et erev. So the Gemara darshins, this is a real drasha d'oraisa, that there's an obligation of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And yet, what do we find? We find again, v'achli v'shasi yad shechashecha. We find that people go ahead and they eat and they drink until very late in the day, until the last final moments. Nobody says anything to them. Even though this is what? this is a din d'oraisa. So you see that this concept of harach l'Yisrael, numutav shishogim lo yimazidin, applies even when it comes to a din d'oraisa. There are poskim that say that this idea that it would only apply to a d'oraisa is only true by something that is mefurash in the Torah, something which is only learned through a drasha. That's when we say harach l'Yisrael, but something that's an explicit din in the Torah, there's no two ways about it, so then we don't say harach l'Yisrael. So, for example, if a person is mechal Shabbos, it's probably not the best example, because even though the Torah says, lo sasa ka malacha, what's malacha? The Torah says, don't eat chametz on Pesach. If you see a person eating chametz on Pesach, we wouldn't say harach l'Yisrael. And even though the Gemara says over here, mutav shishogin, and even by d'oraisa, that's only when it comes to a din which is learned through a drasha. So the din, while it's a din d'oraisa, is not found explicitly in the pasuk, but something which is an explicit din d'oraisa. So then we wouldn't say hanach lehem Yisrael. Again, still requires much discussion as to what the parameters of this concept are. I mean, there's really a lot to discuss on this daf, but we're out of time, so we'll stop here.